Welcome to another episode of the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. A fresh take on sports by two guys who think they're right, even when they're wrong, which is a lot. Sports, movies, music, and, well, other stuff. So turn it up and dive into the bowels of the unknown and maybe have a laugh or two. And now, your hosts, Grant Traylor and Ryan Pritt.
That's right. Welcome in, everyone. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Let's go.
$1, Bob. $1.
Such a cheat. They ought to outlaw that. Anyway, before we get into the rules of what show? Oh, The Price is Right. I must set the Wheel of Fortune. This is a good start. I'm Ryan Pritt. That's Grant Traylor filling in for Brandon Lowe. That's Jack Withrow. The beautiful Jack Withrow. You lost some weight, bud? Look like
If I didn't, something's wrong.
Jack and I, neither one. I think Grant carried us both up the stairs today.
I was going to say, to the office. I'm watching, like, I got out of bed this morning, and I was like, man, my hips kind of hurt, and I see these two guys, and I'm like, I'm in great shape. Let's go today.
Jack went full on army yesterday. He said he did 5 miles with a 20-pound backpack on.
Yep.
I think my app had me at somewhere around 8.5 miles yesterday. Already got 4 in the books this morning, and it looked like Brandon had drank at least 30 IPAs over the weekend.
Yeah, he has a big timbers going.
Yeah, I like the head start that we've got here. We're doing.
I'm good. Feeling good about that. Yeah, I am at least too. Over him.
Yeah, and of course Brandon is at home with a sick daughter. We wish her the best, but hard for me to believe he's going to get that diet kick started today doing that either. So.
I see you brought snacks. You got an apple pie there and some Rice Krispie treats.
I was going to say a birthday cake Rice Krispie treat.
You're just laying that out in front of me, aren't you? Trying to.
I don't know how it got there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you wanted him to sit down here. You switched us up.
We have assigned seating here.
I tried to sit in the captain's chair, and Jack was like, no. Got a really good show today, by the way, guys. New Winfield coach Eddie Smolder going to join us here in about 10 minutes. And then your 12-time West Virginia Open champion, David Bradshaw, going to check in at 12:15 there, of course, getting ready to get fired up at Stonewall Resort this week. I think day one's about 97 degrees.
Such an easy course, too.
If there's one course that I would, like, when you think of course personality matching up with a golfer's personality, I can't think of a better fit than Stonewall and David Bradshaw.
Yeah,
really.
I'm looking at this field, and I looked at tee times yesterday, and of course you don't even know there's some really good players in there. You got the reigning West Virginia amateur champ Phil Reels in here, Cam Rooms in here, a couple past champions, Craig Berner's gonna tee it up and play. Sam Odell, 4-time AM champ. Of course Pat Carter's in there. You can never overlook him and his 13 amateur titles. But, man, with a golf course like this and the way that that Bradshaw's, you know, played in recent years, I don't know what I'd set betting lines on for him, but he's a pretty heavy favorite to me going into this thing, and that's no offense to anyone else.
Yeah, it's him in the field right now, and that has been for the last couple of years. I mean, it's not a slight to anybody else. He has that consistency about him for every single day of a tournament that you just don't see around here.
Yeah.
It's uncanny.
Yeah. Some of the guys, of course we talked to Mason Williams on this show a couple weeks ago, and he of course won't be there. Chris Williams, I think, has moved south, his former neighbor of Jack's here. And, I don't think he's playing. And then Jonathan Clark's down in West Palm eating shrimp and doing whatever he's doing.
Doing Jonathan Clark things.
Yeah, so he's not going to be here either. So
drinking some pops.
But I will say, you know, another thing about this weather this week, and today it's really nice, and yesterday the weekend was awesome, right? Yep. Turns up to hell again tomorrow, and I don't know if we're coming back out of it this time. It looks like it's here for a while. But I think they're calling for 97 at Stonewall on Wednesday. And one thing about David Bradshaw, he used to play on the PGA Latin America Tour. So he would be playing in, like, Nicaragua in June. So I'm not sure that this is anything he's not used to, and that might be another advantage for him as well.
Right. And he's such a seasoned veteran, it doesn't matter conditions, it doesn't matter, you know, adversity, anything like that. It just seems like he finds a way. So, you know, he's the guy everybody's chasing, and it's been like that for the last few years. And it'll be interesting to see some of the names that, creep up that leaderboard and what they can do if they get near him while they're facing that pressure of, can I take him down?
Yeah, and that golf course, another thing to remember, you know, triple bogey's one shot away up there at any point. So you're going to see some big numbers and some big swings. But speaking of golf, Grant throwing up a big number yesterday. Not a big number, a small number.
It was a bigger number than what it should have been.
Okay.
But you all were talking about getting, you know, getting miles in. I felt like I was getting miles on the golf course trying to chase my golf ball down most of the time. But, you know, it was one of those rounds where it didn't feel good. And then at the end of it, you're like, it was an 83.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Yeah. You know, the short game's starting to get better, which you saw. It was awful.
Like, no, you've dreadful been better with that for a the long last time. Few times. So yeah.
Short game's getting a little bit better. Didn't putt very well yesterday, but... You know, it's good to be back out there and haven't been out in about a week or so, and see if we can get some continuity and have some fun with it. Maybe dip into the 70s one or two times before the year's over.
Yeah, Grant throws an 83 on the board yesterday. I hit a 79 Saturday, and the HD Media scramble team's looking hot right now.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Jack, of course. Jack used to be scratch. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not.
That's what I've heard.
Really?
Pretty good, right? Ooh.
I gotta dust off my sticks.
Yeah, so he might, you know, this HD.
Let's do it.
We might be rounding a corner come just about the perfect
scramble. I mean, if I don't shoot a good score, at least we'll have a good time.
Yeah, that's absolutely what's most
important. Lots of laughs.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, kind of like this show. We may not be good, but hey, you're going to have a good time, right?
And we're at least going to pretend like we are at the end of it.
So. There'll be a lot to laughs.
We might only make one or two shots, but we're going to talk about those shots for the next week until we can talk about some others.
Exactly.
Of course, speaking of Latin American hot weather, Grant just coming back from Mexico here recently, right?
Yeah, the only reason he's bringing that up is because I'm losing skin like I'm molting over here. Yeah,
the rest of us have farmer tans.
Here's what's funny about, though. My daughter played in a softball tournament on Saturday. She was supposed to go to Charlotte on Saturday morning, decided to leave Saturday evening to play with her travel softball team. So I get up there and they asked me to help coach, and instantly right back to the farmer's tan, the softball dad tan. So, you know, I've got the neckline, I've got you know, my feet look like I'm wearing socks, right? No matter whether I've got socks on or not. So yeah, we're right back to square one after the week of Mexico.
Well, speaking of that, happy Father's Day to the both of you.
Thank you.
And all of you guys out there listening that it's applicable to. Had a good Father's Day yesterday, you know, dinner with my dad and taking it easy on the couch, watching one hell of a U.S. Open, by the way. And, you know, for all the things that NASCAR does wrong, thank you for taking yesterday off. That was nice getting out of the way, throwing one up for the dads and just watching Matt Fitzpatrick, Will Zalatoris, and Scotty Scheffler go at it. And that was some special stuff yesterday. I don't know if either one of you watched that.
I did not, no.
But, you know, Fitzpatrick's been a guy who's knocked on the door there the last year or two, and people forget, you know, the 2013 amateur, which, oh, by the way, was held at that golf course, he won that, and he beat some guys that have won majors since. I think Scheffler was one of them that was in that field. And for him to finally put it all together there, make a huge, I mean, just one of the best bunker shots you're ever going to see on 18 with everything on the line. Just some big stuff, man, and he won it. And, you know, Will Zalatoris, 6 out of 9 majors he's played in, he's finished in the top five. Has not gotten one yet, but he was a putt away this time, and he just keeps inching ever closer. He's one of those guys you kind of feel like when he gets the first one, there might be 3, 4, 5 behind it. So good stuff there. I hope everybody got to see that. What else was going on this weekend?
Today's West Virginia Day.
Today's West Virginia Day.
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I don't know.
June 20th. So it's what? Let's see. Carry the one. 159 years old. Does that sound right?
Sounds about right.
159.
Yeah.
Happy She's birthday. A pup. Yeah.
Happy Just birthday, a baby.
Just remember, guys, Civil War champs since 1865. Anything else? Isn't there usually like a New River Gorge Bridge deal today? Or that's Bridge Day. What am I thinking of? You ever been to Bridge Day?
I've never been.
I haven't either. I think that would be some awesome video to get, some photos.
But I know
like
what's
that.
Coming up been. This weekend, though, in Sutton, West Virginia.
What's that?
The annual Bigfoot Festival.
Really?
They have a Bigfoot calling contest. No lie.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, and I'm thinking about going.
No,
oh, wait, that's Chewy. Yeah, oh, my bad.
That's wrong one. It might work, though.
It could.
Depends on the judges.
We went from West Virginia Day to Bridge Day to Bigfoot to Chewbacca in like a minute. That was great.
Yeah, that's taking place Friday and Saturday in Sutton, downtown Sutton. Yeah. I am thinking about it.
Okay. You might have to let me know.
I may roll up there early Saturday morning so I can get back.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Of course, Jack and I hung out at Yak Fest on Friday night.
Yep, great event.
Yeah, that's
absolutely great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jack got to see me put on a seltzer drinking display there.
Yeah, right?
That helped with the challenge, right?
Yeah, well,
zero carbs.
That's all matters.
No carbs. Can't have carbs. You know, I feel good. I mean, I was tempted.
Are you not eating any carbs?
Yeah, so here's the deal.
Because you've got to have some energy.
Yeah, yeah. So I did, a couple years ago, I got put on low-carb diet, right? And I took it to the extreme, as I'm tendency to do.
Yeah.
And went into ketosis and thought I was dying. It was the worst feeling I've ever had. So I found out with some research and a couple discussions that 0 to 50 grams of carbs every day is considered keto. And that will put you into ketosis.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do 50 to 100. Just enough to keep myself above that and not feeling like I was holding a gun. I was playing golf when it really hit, and holding a 9-iron felt like I was holding a boat oar.
Yeah.
Like it was unbelievable. I couldn't even swing the club. So I try to do low carb, but when I get carbs, it's coming from like beans and corn and nuts and stuff that are, you know, complex carbohydrates. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
Man, wow.
I had 3 helpings of spaghetti yesterday that I made for Christy's dad. So, I mean, I've got your carbs covered.
Yeah, so, like, I'm drinking coffee right now. There's no creamer in this coffee, but there is organic honey from Grits Farm, which is going to help with my allergies.
I don't get the organic. I'm not 1%er, so I get my honey from Kroger.
Well, before you throw that at me, just know that that comes from Kelsey because she likes to go to Grits Farm and surprise me.
I finally got to meet Kelsey Friday night.
That's true.
She's a lovely lady. Yeah.
She's so awesome.
Yes,
she puts up with my phone calls at all hours of the day. I'm like, hi, Kels. I'm sorry.
And the thing is, like,
especially Sundays. Like, Sunday's normally the day.
The earpiece on my phone's been broken for like a year now. So every call, I'm on speaker. Yeah. He knows, like, somewhere Kelsey's in the background. Hey, Grant. Hey, Kelsey.
But when I try to dial it back. Like,
she got us full blitz there when she used to work at Catherine's. I got him down this way one night, and we ventured over there and hung out for
great
way
burgers.
Too long. Yeah, yeah. Great bartender back then, too.
Yes.
Not that there aren't there now, but she was pretty good. So yeah, she knows Grant all too well. Finally got to meet you. That was a really cool event. Obviously, I saw your thing on Facebook, though. There's always got to be an idiot somewhere, right?
Yeah, you know, always. But sort of a happy ending on that.
Was there? Yeah.
They did identify and catch him.
Good. So one of the...
They got some of the...
Did they get the stuff back? Or?
They've got some of it. I don't think they've got all of it just yet, but I think they're going over to tomorrow to the police station. And get some of that back. So that's good.
Well,
you talk about social media. We talk about, you know, how bad it is sometimes, but it could be used for good things.
Sure.
And, you know, when you share things like that, and the folks from Yak Fest stepped right in. They went right to security cameras up and down the street, and that's how they got him. So
awesome.
Well, you know, I just got done doing a story on on the Red and Black Athletic Club. I think that's right.
Yeah.
That your buddy Brian England and Christian Watts started up, and seems like a great thing that they're doing there. And there's all this good stuff in St. Albans, like that whole strip now.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, you didn't go over there. Like, it was not a good place to be. And now it's awesome.
It's
down
the
through
place
there.
To be.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's just always one or two people that try to ruin it for everybody, you know, but, other than that misfortune, they got some great weather over there, had some good entertainment. Scott James over there on the controls running
everything.
The mayor.
The mayor. Thank you to him for his hospitality too. And, man, just a real fun event and a good place to have something like that.
Yeah. I went back over Saturday night, and had dinner at the tap. So whatever, for a couple hours.
Yeah. He snuck a couple tortillas in there. No.
That's all right. It's balance. It's all about balance for me.
So there is actually a type of tortilla. Somebody called me here. That might actually be Eddie. There's a certain kind of tortilla, by the way, that you can get. It's called Carb Balance. And if you want to know, dietary fibers for every gram of that cancels out a gram of carbs.
So you're like a nutritionist.
Yeah, I learned all this. Yeah, it was a big deal. So apparently that was Eddie Smolder. Well, so let's get our asses to break.
Let's take a break.
And we'll be right back, hopefully, with Eddie Smolder. Guys, welcome back to the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt, with Grant Traylor, with Jack Withrow, with no Brandon Lowe, and now with Eddie Smolder, new coach of Winfield High School. Eddie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for joining us. Doing this series every week where we're trying to get a prep coach on every Monday and Friday, leading us all the way up to the season opener in late August there. And talk some Winfield football and talk about you, man. I mean, I think the biggest and most obvious question for us who haven't got to talk to you yet is, coming back to coaching here at Winfield, what attracted you to this job and how's it been so far?
What attracted me this job, Winfield's a great area to raise your family. It's one of the best high schools, if not the best high school, double A academically, culture-wise. My wife's from here and, obviously her family is from here. Coach McCoy was her grandfather and, Coach Bailey, he coached here forever in football and is also still the track coach and cross country coach is my father-in-law. I've got a lot of family that lives here as well. Like Teddy Kester's Winfield's only Kennedy Award winner. Teddy and I are cousins. So I've got a lot of family here. But really, when I left Ripley, I was going to move to Kentucky or Ohio and, find a coaching job there. And this, opportunity came open, Coach Snyder was going to leave in a year or two. So I knew I'd have to wait during that time before he retired. So I went to Cabell Midland and coached with my best friend there the last 2 years and just knew that, this job was going to open. Like I taught at the school and, wasn't trying to rush Craig out at all. He let it known that he was going to coach another year or two. And, I wanted to be the next head coach after he was done. So here I am. I'm happy to be here. I love Winfield. It's always kind of been like a second home to me where, my wife's from here. My in-laws are here. So, here we are. And I'm glad and thrilled to have this position. It means a lot to me. I'm, faith first, family second, football third. And it ties all three together. And, a really important way for me. So this job means a lot. It's just not another job. It's one that I've looked at several times when it was open, was offered it a couple times, but obviously turned it down and stayed where I was at. But I think it's just a great place to finish my career and raise my kids here and be close to family.
Speaking of all of that, obviously, I think I've seen you out and about in the community a little bit. Actually, I think I spotted you at a church one day at my sister's church. So I was like, was that Eddie? And it was. I should have came up and talked to you. But
anytime. Easy to talk to.
I wasn't quite sure. But, being back at Winfield, there is some familiarity here. This is not the first time you've been a head coach in the Cardinal Conference, obviously. Things are looking a little bit different now than probably the last time you were here. I think the last time you were in the league, Mingo Central was kind of the team to beat. And of course you got them there once or twice at Sissonville. You look around this league now, you look at what Hoover's doing on their side of things. They seem to kind of be the team to beat right now. But what do you see when you look around this league and what's it take to win in this league?
Like I coached in it for a long time at Sissonville. I was there 10 years total. I was an assistant for six under Todd Chevalier when I first started coaching. and, you know, I ran the defense. And then I was the head coach from 2011, 2014. The Cardinal Conference is, you know, it's a tough football and basketball conference. It just is what it is. Usually top to bottom, you have quality teams, and there's always at least two teams that make the playoffs and sometimes three or four that, you know, make the playoffs out of the Cardinal. So, you know, it's definitely a double-A league you want to be in if you want and like competitive football. You know, when I was coaching at Sissonville, Wayne was the elite team then. You know, they were just dragging everybody. And our goal was to get to that level. And, you know, last two years, we made the playoffs. You know, we beat Mingo in the first round in 13. And that was the first ever home field game at Joe Sawyer's Field. And, you know, we got beat the second round by Wayne. That was the only team that beat us twice that year. We were 10-2. Then my last year at Sissonville, we made the playoffs, and Wayne beat us by three, a close game, and we had him on the ropes, and we got to where we wanted to get to. And, you know, it just came up a little bit short, but we ended up making the playoffs, and we met Mingo in the first round. They ended up beating us in the first round. But, you know, to win this league, you got to have a good staff. You got to work all year round. You know, you got to be tough, and you got to be in shape, and you got to run a good scheme if you want to be able to compete and survive in the Cardinal. It's not an easy league to be in by no means.
Yeah, you know, I think about your teams of that era, and obviously I covered most of those at Sissonville, and some of it at Ripley, actually. I was up there when you guys won the playoff game in the first round there against the East. And, you know, you always think, you know, at least I do when I think about your teams, it's physical, it's downhill running the football, hopefully, at first. It's good defense. It can be up-tempo. But, you know, I look at the kids that Winfield is known to produce, and it just seems like, you know, right off the bat that this could possibly be, you know, a really, really good fit just in terms of your schematics. I mean, is that what you found in terms of the kids that you've got under you? I mean, it seems like there could be really like a hand in glove situation there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a really smooth transition, to say the least. And it feels like I've been here a lot longer than, you know, 6 months, to be honest with you. Everything's going really good. You know, the kids have bought in from day one. And we're making good progress. You know, we're going to change a few things schematically. We'll still run the football first. We're going to be known for our great and smash mouth defense. But, you know, I ran option in the past, but option's going to be our bread and butter. We're going to be an option football team, you know, throw quick and play action off of it. And, you know, we can go fast at times or we can go slow. We'll still run no huddle. But, you know, we're going to manage the game and play good defense and hopefully come out on the other end with at least a point or more.
Yeah, you guys are in your three-week period now, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, what have you guys kind of been up to since that started? What are you trying to get done right now? And are there any kids that have kind of jumped out at you that you can talk about right now?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we started working out in January, you know, the day after I got the job, and we've been hitting it really hard since then. So, you know, since January, we've been working all the things that goes into football, from, you know, conditioning to teamwork to toughness to flexibility to strength, speed, strength, endurance, you know, explosion. I mean, there's so many things, you know, your 40, your linear speed, I mean, cutting, reacting. There's a lot that goes into football. I mean, it's tough, and I give credit to anybody that coaches high school football now and spends time with their kids, because it's not an easy thing to prepare for. You know, there's a lot of different variables and a lot of different tools that you got to use to make a good football team. But we've been doing all that for, you know, the last 5 or 6 months, and now we're allowed to use the football. So that's been our primary focus, teaching the kids, you know, our scheme and how we practice and our drills and, you know, what our drills are called and so on and so forth. So that way, when we get to August, you know, we can roll into that and they have a good idea what we expect, and, you know, they can practice faster. So right now we're primarily teaching, you know, technique fundamentals in our scheme.
Anybody ask you when you're going to beat Hurricane yet?
we want to beat everybody we play. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, we're worried about tomorrow, to be honest with you. And then when we get to that week, we'll turn it up for them. Yeah. You know, it's a big game. It's a big rivalry, you know, is what everybody says. But I've played against Hurricane my whole life as a coach and a player. So it'll be another game for me. It'll be a team that, you know, we'll lay it all on the line for and try to beat.
It's a really tough schedule looking at it. It looks like your two non-conference games. You got Hurricane, of course, at home right out of the gate. And then you close at Point, which is never an easy trip for anybody. Right off the bat, Hurricane and at Hoover. I mean, that's a heck of a way to start it off. Do you like that, having that up front? And I mean, you have to make it, you know, I don't think you're going to have to be searching for motivation there those first couple of weeks for your guys at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, you start out tough. You got to play tough teams sometimes. So, you know, the schedule is already set when I got the job. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, if you want to be a good football team, you got to play tough competition. And like I said, if you got tough teams on your schedule, you got to play them at some point, whether it's early, middle, or late. So, you know, we'll prepare for each game like it's our next game and our last game. That's the bottom line. Doesn't matter what color jersey they have on or where they're from or how many kids have transferred in there. So whoever it is, we'll prepare like we do with the kids we got, and we'll line up. We're going to play for 48 minutes as hard as we can. And if the kid's not, then obviously they'll be staying on the sideline with me. That's our expectation. We're going to play with all gas and no brakes.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, man, we like to close this segment with a 12-pack of rapid-fire stupid questions.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll have some fun with this. Try to, anyway. So we'll each get three. We'll go, or four. Is three times four 12? See, I don't even, I can't even do math.
Yeah, journalists aren't math guys. You'll have to move on. You'll have to excuse him a little bit.
I think it's all three of us get four, right? That's 12?
Correct.
Okay, and I'll lead it off here. So if you're ready, let's have a laugh or two here. All right, first an easy one, man. If you got some spare time and the ideal weather for each activity, what are you doing, hunting, fishing, or golfing?
I am hunting first. Deer? Hunting first, fishing second. Deer, I hunt deer and turkey. Take my son squirrel hunting. But, yeah, I'm going to hunt first, fish second, and golf. If I'm going to golf, I'm going to take my fishing pole with me. I'll drive the car while they golf. Now, putt-putt, I'll do that, but golf, I sucked at it, and I don't like to lose and not be good at something, so I just gave it up at an early age.
Seems like he needs to golf with us.
There's all kinds of people that golf that suck, too, I guess. They just keep doing it.
All right, Coach, next question. What do you put on your perfect hot dog?
Chili, slaw, mustard. And it wouldn't just be one, it would be multiple.
Exactly.
You know, usually three or four football season.
Jack and I can't have hot dogs right now. We're trying to
you're killing them right now.
Competition, and he and I are just dragging right now. So,
and I'm telling you, hot dog would be almost like, you know, not being able to eat, man. That's something I don't hold back from.
I'm going to have to avoid most of the food questions. I'm going to chew my own arm off. Thanks, Jack.
Got that one out of the way, though.
Yeah, they started a weight loss challenge in the heart of summer. Meanwhile, back on the ranch, I had three plates of spaghetti yesterday and went to go see Top Gun and had two orders of nachos and some Lifesavers gummies while I was there. So.
Yeah, you got to reward yourself too.
That's right. Now, I'm going to throw a little bit of an oddball question out here because I know that, you know, you and Luke are tight. Do you have a pair of Crocs? And if so, are you going to be wearing them on the sidelines this fall?
No, I don't wear them on the sidelines. I'm not saying Luke's not, but I'm a little bit ADD, man. I can't stand still, so I'm always moving and around, and I don't wear cleats like some coaches, but I wear tennis shoes. I got Crocs for the house. I wear them from the house to the pool, but that's about it. Mine are camo. They're not red like Luke's.
I think that's the exact pair that Jack has. Or he's a big
Croc guy right now. Yeah.
A follow-up to that, and this doesn't come up, just real quick, do you ever do socks with Crocs? Is that acceptable?
Socks and Crocs, I mean, I've done it before. I wouldn't wear them to church, I don't think, or to school. But, you know, if it happens, if I got socks on, I want to go out and, you know, feed the animals or whatever, roll over to the in-laws' house, I may. But, you know, if that makes somebody happy, go for it, man.
All right, I'm going to steal this one from Brandon last week because I like this one. What is the last movie you remember watching that made you cry?
That made me cry?
This is a tough one for a football coach.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Because Billy Seals revealed to us that he was a huge Notebook guy, which was kind of fun.
Oh, really? Yeah, I can't say I've watched that one. No fun to Billy, but I think my wife watched it. My wife watched it. I think I went downstairs on that one and watched something else. Probably Lone Survivor or 12 Strong, one of the military movies that I've watched.
Yeah, Lone Survivor is good. Yeah, just, I like that.
Just because I have, you know, the first time you see it, it's pretty emotional. It's, you know, I've got a high regard for America and, you know, our servicemen and people that protect our country and so on and so forth. And,
All right, next question. What's your favorite vacation spot?
Favorite vacation? if it's a family vacation, we're leaving Winfield, it's going to the beach. You know, we go to several different ones. If it's just like a weekend deal, you know, I go back to my house and farm in Ripley and just, you know, ride four wheelers and fish and help my dad, you know, on the farm. So,
sounds like sounds like a Jackson County boy right there.
Yeah, that's it. You can't take that out of them.
No. Nope.
I'm going to go a little off the cuff here, too, because that's what I do. Other than football, what is your favorite sport? Like, what is, you know, something that when you're out of season that you can't go without, you just got to see it?
Probably basketball. I played basketball when I was little, all the way through high school. And, you know, basketball has always been, I guess, my second love. I played pickup my whole life until my back got to the point where my wife finally told me, said, you just ain't going to do it anymore. I have to go to the fight chiropractor and have to miss work. So basketball is, I like basketball. My son plays basketball. I'd love to still play it, man. It's the best exercise you can get for an old retired person, you know, like us. You know, you just can't supplement that kind of movement. But, you know, I shoot just about every day with him and work on stuff with him. So, you know, I love the game of basketball. It's great for, you know, it's great for football players to play basketball. It helps their, you know, their reaction and their mobility and their, you know, covering guys man to man and so on and so forth. I think it translates a lot. And we've got, you know, probably 5 to 7 basketball players that play for us that are football guys, and I love having basketball players on the team.
There you go. Number 7. Of all the games you've coached as a head coach, who was the toughest opposing head coach to prepare for?
Probably Wayne when they were in their prime. And, you know, Tommy's a friend of mine and he's a great coach, but they were just so daggone big and so strong. And just, I mean, it didn't matter what you tried to do or who you had, they just plowed people down. I think just that in itself, and then, you know, the building misdirection with it, they just would totally manhandle you. And then if you did find an answer, they had another one where they could manhandle a different way, have a different formation. So I think by far, you know, Tommy Harmon, to be honest with you, and some people look at it and say, that's simple or it's old school, but when you have the dudes to do it, you can't stop it. You know, it just depends on what you got and, you know, running the ball and blocking for you. But I think him, and I've coached against a lot of people. There's a lot of good coaches out there. And I look at it as a challenge every week, and that's what makes it fun. But I think Tommy, when they were in their prime, they were the hardest to stop.
Yeah. All right, Coach, arm wrestling contest between you and your father-in-law, David Bailey, who wins?
You know, no disrespect to him. You know, he is my father-in-law, even though we joke around. I mean, I'd like to say I could beat him since I still work out. So I'm not that he's not active. I mean, he's highly active. But he has a shoulder replacement. So if I couldn't beat him, I probably don't need to even be walking this earth, to be honest with you.
You know, if you beat him, he's still going to tell everybody that he won.
Oh, yeah. He'll hit you, pick up a stick or something, try to get out or try to shoot me or something. But, yeah, he's got a, you know, he had a shoulder replacement back in the fall. So if I couldn't beat him, then it'd be bad.
While we're on him, though, who runs a tougher practice, him or you?
I mean, comparing the two, it's hard. I mean, you know, we're a lot in the same in a lot of ways, but we're different in some ways, I guess you could say. You know, I'm 30-some years younger, but, you know, I'm still old school approach, mentality. You know, he's definitely old school, which is great. He's probably one of the best track coaches, if not in the state. I mean, I can say that without even blinking, or in the country. I mean, it's hard to deny what he's done. But, you know, comparing the two, I'd like to think they're pretty equal. Now, do we do what him and Leon did in the 70s and 80s, we wouldn't have a team left. The times are different. And, you know, everybody's different. It's just different.
Heck, I was over there with him and Coach Hoff on the girls' soccer team, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, the girls' soccer. I went over to girls' soccer practices, and those were outrageous. It's no way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he coached Marshall, too, but everything he's put his hand in, he's always had success. So.
Yep.
You know, bottom line for us, like he runs probably the toughest track, or I know the toughest track practices in the state. Yeah, I'm not afraid to say this. There won't be enough outworks us in double A.
There you go.
Saying that.
Throwing it back a little bit to your playing days, what memory sticks out the most from your playing career that you still talk about to this day? It could be somebody you faced or one of the moments that you had during your playing career.
High school, it was probably my senior year. We got in the playoffs. We should have been a lot better when our record showed. We had some injuries, and the kid gets suspended on a call, so we lost our starting running back one game. But we finished 6-4, made the playoffs. We should have been 8-2, 9-1 team, but we got in and we beat the number one team in 97, which was Morgantown, at Morgantown, which nobody, you know, really thought would happen or predicted us to win. So upsetting them in high school and college, probably the last bowl game of my career. I mean, just for it all coming together and the brotherhood and the teamwork we had amongst the players and the coaches and, you know, going out with a win and beating Louisville in the GMAC Bowl in 2002 and being a part of that and knowing it's your last game, the last time you're going to put on pads and, you know, play with your buddies and your brothers and sharing that with, you know, one of my best friends and childhood, you know, buddies in Luke Sammons.
I've got to ask, how crazy was that game? Because that was the game where John L. like retired in the, or took the Michigan State job in the middle of the, like at halftime, wasn't it?
For Louisville?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I heard all about after. I didn't know any of that was going on. I mean, we were just locked in and, you know, playing for blood, and it was on TV and trying to get a bowl ring and so on and so forth. So, I mean, he could have just disappeared or ran off. We wouldn't have cared. We were trying to win the game. Looking back and hearing all that, it was crazy, to be honest with you.
All right. Three. Go ahead,
I wasn't compared to his club, you know. But it benefited us, I'm sure.
All right, three more, one apiece, and I've asked everyone this one. This one's for me. What is your Desert Island album?
Desert Island album.
If you're stuck on a desert island, you can only have one record. What is it?
It'd be Jason Aldean, CD9, I think is what the title is.
It's a country guy.
I listen to everything. I mean, I grew up, you know, in Ripley in the country, but you know, I listen to country, rock, and rap. I mean, but, you know, if I'm going to be one place and just have one album, that would be Jason Aldean.
Good deal.
All right, last one for me, Coach.
Yeah.
What is your meat of choice when you're grilling or smoking something?
It would definitely be deer steak.
Deer steak. Yes, sir.
No thought about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Did a couple.
Yeah, deer steak, man.
I did a big backstrap on my grill there a couple months ago and kind of cut it up. It looked like four ribeyes almost when they went on there. It was unbelievable.
You can't beat it. My wife's like, why do you hunt so much, or why this, why that? And it's like, man, it's, you understood, like, she doesn't eat that much deer meat, you know.
Tell her to go look at the price tag on a roll of ground beef anymore.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, but deer meat's different, man. It's got less fat in it. Mm-hmm. You know, you either love it or you hate it, really, you know, and I love it. So I try to kill as many deer as I can and every season legally.
That's right.
Now I'm getting hungry. I'm thinking deer chili. I'm thinking deer jerky. Deer chili. Like everything is deer
burritos. Yeah, I've been shooting my bow. I'm waiting for bow season because, you know, I'm out of back straps. I got some deer, you know, Slim Jims left that we had made, but back straps.
Yeah, I may have to. You may have to bring me one of those to a game. I don't think I've ever had a deer Slim Jim. That sounds awesome.
They're good. We take it to Deer Legs and Cross Lanes/ This Mill's kind of in gray area there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they do a great job. Give Deer Legs some props. Yeah, they do. I mean, you can get it in different, all kinds of different ways, different flavors, cheese, jalapenos in it. But we just get the Slim Jims with. Cheddar cheese with the deer meat is freaking great.
I think HD and Media is in trouble because Grant and I just booked a deer trip in the middle of football season. Yeah, no. What's going on? All right, finish this out, Grant.
All right, last one. Favorite sports movie of all time? What is it? Like, what's one that you go to just when you're trying to relax and sort of stay with sports but get away from it a little bit?
It'd have to be The Program.
Ooh,
nice.
That's a good one.
That's a terrific movie.
Can't watch it enough times.
There you go.
It gets you know, like when I was little,
I wanted to be that, and when I was playing, you know, I was that. And then I guess when you're not playing more, you watch it, and it brings back a lot of old memories. I guess.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's good. Awesome. Well, Coach Bain, I really appreciate you calling in and taking some time with us and having some fun. And good luck through the rest of the 3 weeks here. Stay healthy, and we'll catch back up in August, I'm sure.
Sounds good. Wayne Pritt, one of your cousins?
Yep, sure is. Second. And my best friend growing up was also a cousin of Teddy Kester, too, by the way.
Who was your friend, best friend?
His name was Nathan Sayer.
Nathan Sayer. I'll ask Teddy. I wonder if that was his mom's side or his dad's side.
I think it was, I don't know. But, yeah, he used to have pictures of him hanging up in his house when I was there. And I was like 6, 7 years old, and that was just a couple years after the Kennedy season, I think. So I grew up knowing who he was, too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, Wayne's coaching with me now. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, he's been down there in and out of the program for a while. He's a good coach, man. Good kid, too, or a good person, too. Yeah. So
he is. I'm glad to have him back and glad to have him help him.
Small world, my friend. Small world. So
it really is, especially when you're in your right.
Ain't that damn right. So let that be the West Virginia Day quote from the episode today. All right, Coach, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a good day. Coach.
Thank you. Good. Eddie Smolder, guys. Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. They're going to be, I'm telling you.
They can get that turned around.
They're already close anyhow. I mean, they've had some really good teams. Yeah. And I think Craig, when I say that, I want to make sure that's not a knock to Craig, who I think did a good job. I just think that Eddie's style fits the personnel that comes out of that school perfectly. Like, I can't think of a better place for him to end up unless he ended up taking like Midland or Spring Valley's job or something like that. Like, Winfield can be that in AA.
Yeah.
And he can be the guy that does that. He already does that anyway. I think, and we mentioned that to Joey when we had him on the first time. I really feel like Winfield could be a state power in the next 5 years under him.
Yeah, and so, Joey agreed. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, good to have him on. Going to be interesting to see how they do in year one under him. And I tell you what, man, it was a great timing because he led us right into 12-15. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, 12-time West Virginia Open champ David Bradshaw coming up next. To the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt podcast, here with Grant Traylor, Jack Withrow, and now 12-time West Virginia Open champ Dave Bradshaw, who is out on the course at Stonewall playing in the pro-am. David, how's the course look?
It looks lovely. Very green, very beautiful. The weather's gorgeous today, but probably not going to hold up for the week.
I was going to say, that heat coming at you Wednesday, they're calling 97, but for someone who used to play on the Latin America tour, you think you got an advantage in that?
No, I think the only thing that I like about it is that my body's going to feel really good in the heat. You know, it'll be about a 5-minute warm up.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. The big talk about this golf course, and obviously the Open's never been here, but is the difficulty of it. I know you're out there now. Are you seeing that? I mean, is it as tough as the reputation proceeds, or what do you think of it?
Yes, it's very difficult. Yeah, the rough is very healthy. It's just the fairways are narrow, the greens are small and undulating, and the golf course, because you can't hit a lot of drivers, it plays a lot longer than the scorecard says. So it is a really tough test of golf. I mean, last year at Pete Dye was difficult. This one might arguably be tougher. I don't know how firm and fast the greens are yet, because I'm just on the first hole of the pro-am, so I can't tell you. I haven't got to the green yet.
Hey, man, that's a heck of a guy that'll call you from the first fairway, you know. We appreciate it for sure. But, obviously picked up number 12 last year, and I know you're never one to want to talk about history and legacy and all that kind of stuff, but a year removed, a dozen's a lot, man. Does it mean more and more to you every year, or how do you kind of put it in perspective?
Yeah, I mean, every time I get one, you know, it's kind of writing your name into history. And obviously, you know, the slammer with 17, I'm kind of sneaking up on him a bit. But I'm still a long way to go. I mean, this golf tournament is, it's difficult to win. So to think that it's five more to tie, it's not even worth thinking about. It's just one shot at a time, and maybe one day I'll get there. We'll see.
My favorite part about this thing is we get to catch up with you and find out what you've been up to for a year. So what did 2021 and 2022 bring for you so far?
Well, at the end of 2021, I was in Q school. I kind of blew it in the bottom of the ninth at stage two in the final round there. So unfortunately, I didn't get Corn Ferry status. I've been playing some Monday qualifiers. Haven't had a lot of luck. I lost in a playoff once. That was as close as I got. And aside from that, I wasn't really playing that great in the spring, but about halfway through May, I started playing well. Of course, I won the little Bettinardi in Charleston, and then I spent some time in North Carolina. So I'm playing well and looking forward to the week.
Yeah.
No, David, for you especially, you know, that a course like Stonewall, it's a huge, you know, mental aspect to being able to be successful there. And that's what's led you to success over the last few years. Do you feel like you have a definitive advantage going into this week because of your mental approach to the game?
Yeah, I mean, this is a grinder golf course. So it's you're going to take your lumps out here. It's not going to be you know, a birdie fest for sure. So I think whoever kind of stays patient and doesn't get too upset when things turn south is gonna fare pretty good, because this golf course is tough. It's every bit as tough as any West Virginia Open we've ever played.
Is there a premium on one aspect of the game? If you could do one thing great this week, what would it be?
I think your ball striking is probably the premium here. I mean, like I said, the rough is deep. The fairways are narrow. The greens are small. If you can hit it if you can hit fairways and greens here, I think you're going to do okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, man, we will. I know you're trying to have a good time today, so we'll let you go, man. And I will. I'll see you Thursday. And best of luck. And thanks for taking a few minutes there for us.
Yeah, appreciate it. Take care. See you soon.
All right. Bye bye.
Thanks, buddy.
That's David Bradshaw from the first fairway at Stonewall Resort.
Well, so we figured out they've got gas-powered carts at Stonewall right in the middle of that.
Kind of sounded more like he was in turn four at Bristol a couple times.
You
got to
have gas-powered there.
Yeah.
It's got some hills.
Yeah, I've never been there at all. So
I played it last year for the second time, and didn't fare any better than the first time, I will tell you that. Oh, we got another guest coming on there. What's up, bud? How are you?
My dog snuck in.
Yeah, not barking at us this time? What's up?
That's only when you walk in the door.
Well, we got an animal mascot on the show, so that's new. We got
that's Bruno.
Live correspondence from the first fairway of a golf tournament. We've talked
animals.
About Bigfoot today, right? Yeah. But yeah, definitely
deer steaks,
which sounds that's so a food good. We can talk about and a half, because he's right.
There's his brother, Willie.
Yeah, man, we got two pups in the room. So
Willie and Bruno.
Willie and Bruno. And speaking of Willie, Be tuned in on Friday when we welcome in St. Albans football coach Willie Washington to the show.
Yeah, now they're going to get crazy because they're together. So one feeds off the other.
Yeah. Of course, we talked to David Bradshaw. Look out for the Open this week. Grant, we got some regional soccer coming.
Yes, two major tournaments in the tri-state area. Barboursville and Shawnee splitting it up once again. President's Cup is wrapping up tomorrow at Shawnee, and then they take 2 days off, and then a seven-day tournament, the USU Soccer Eastern Region Tournament. And it's always some terrific competition there. So, you know, obviously it's going to be hot, but, you know, those turf fields at Shawnee are going to get pretty warm. But definitely this area. Also, if you're going anywhere in this area, give yourself a little bit of time. There's going to be a lot of traffic, but those two events normally bring about 25 to 30 million to this area, and it's a huge boon. So definitely good to see those coming back in.
Yeah, and of course HD Media will be on the call there for some of that stuff. The guy next to me is the mastermind, so he's tasked with figuring out how we do all that, but we have the utmost faith in him. He'll figure it out.
The boss.
He shoots an 83, and he also computes which birthday the state's celebrating today in the blink of an eye. So he's on top of everything. That's why he runs the stuff, and that's why I sit over here and take orders from him. which is my his he favorite, knows I hate his this. Favorite like, thing.
I'm
when
just
I say
sitting
it.
Here just stewing over it right now.
So yeah, we'll have that coming. What else did we want to mention? There was one more thing, right? What was it? So we talk about stuff off air, folks, and then we never remember it. And you just never know at this show, man. Yeah. You get a herd of doodles walking in. You might you might get a golfer who's and sitting in the cart trying to drink a beer mid shot. Yep. You just I love it. We ask him about the golf course. He hasn't even been on it.
Yeah, he was in one fairway, and it sounded like he was getting ready to go to one green.
I'm sure with all the golf he's played, he's seen it at some point, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, difficulty aside, that should be a beautiful venue up there. It's a really nice. I feel bad because we just talk about how hard it is. Like, it's a bad thing with that golf course. I like that in an Open. That's what we saw, like, obviously, in the national level this weekend. Was, of course, if you weren't playing well, he's going to get got. And I think that's what's going to happen this week. And like you said, and you asked him, and that was a good question. I mean, in a tournament like that, at a place like that, you favor a guy like that. That's done it a bunch.
You look, and that is also a course where Pat Carter and his mental approach come in huge. You look at,
great point.
There's going to be three shot swings on each hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, the leaderboard is going to look like you just threw some names in a hat and sort of picked them out, because it's going to be changing so much. Because, like you said, you know, on each side of it, one shot, you know, you're OB. So
it almost seems like it would be a course that might favor some of the veteran guys. Some of these youngsters obviously can get a little emotional. And this is going to be somewhere where if you make a bogey or a double bogey, you're not, I mean, you can't. I would be terrible here. That's the point. I have been terrible here.
I shoot 120 there from what I hear.
The first double bogey, I am a mental midget when it comes to golf. It doesn't, it goes downhill and then it continues. Grant loves it. He likes to give me hell. I'll start with the I suck and all that.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, I shot an 81. Shut up.
Which I hadn't touched until yet this weekend for a while. It had been bad. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Anything else going this weekend? What a show.
Just getting everything ready for
gearing up for Bigfoot.
Yeah, I mean.
Brandon's a big Bigfoot guy. Believer.
You guys got an event coming up Saturday?
A what?
An event.
Do we?
Anything this Saturday coming up?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just ask.
I'll tell you who would be the best guy to take with you to the Bigfoot thing, though. You know who would have a great time at that? And you see, he already knows. Let's get Chris Wade to go to the Bigfoot thing.
Yeah.
He needs to be our special.
You know, there's a museum there that they opened last year.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And Sutton, and I go to Sutton all the time. It's like my favorite trout fishing spot.
It's a quick trip.
Yeah, it's an hour.
Another place I haven't been. Like, the more we talk about this stuff, the more I'm like, I've really not been many places in West Virginia. Not as many as I should.
Well, we started throwing around dates for the Canaan Raven double dip 2-day fiasco, so you need to get signed up for that, because I know you've never been either one of those.
And no.
Good golly. That was a fun trip last year, so. Anyway, that's stuff we can talk about off air and quit wasting these fine people's time.
One thing I will say, and Ryan and Luke Creasy, our Marshall writer, started it last week.
Yeah.
NHD Media Publications, definitely be looking for our Marshall and WVU 2022 opponent previews. Those started last week running, I think Marshall's running Wednesday and Sunday, and yours are running Friday and Sunday
Friday
for
and
WVU.
Sunday. Yep.
And also this week I'll be counting down the top 10 moments in CUSA history.
Wow.
In the 17-year history that Marshall was there.
You found just 10, huh?
No, yeah, basically.
I'm kidding.
It could be argued that number one was the day that they,
they left.
Decided to, you know, get rid of CUSA and move to the Sun Belt. And definitely this Saturday as well. Got a little bit of a signing event that might be of interest, right?
Yeah. We're working on it. Yeah. Is that fair?
Fair.
We're working on it. Okay. Yeah, so we got all that. I can't wait to see these top 10 CUSA moments, though. but, yeah, so be on the lookout for all that. WVGazetteMail.com, Herald-Dispatch.com, Video Productions, Susie's. Oh, no, they're not on board yet. We got a deer leg shout out today. So if you're out there deer hunting, make sure you go see them.
I can't eat Susie's for a while.
Yeah, we can't talk. We can't even mention that. We love you, Susie's.
But fruit now.
It is.
We'll revisit this in football season. But for now, Susie's, I'm sorry. Yeah. Anything else we need to shout out? Anybody else? At R. Pritt, at what? Grant Trailer.
At Grant Trailer.
That's tough. Jack.
At the J-Dub Tweets.
And find us at BLR Pod, I think.
Yeah.
And on Facebook and Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. So if you haven't tuned out by now, thanks for hanging in through whatever this was. We do our best here. I'm Ryan Pritt. That's Grant Trailer. And that's the beautiful Svelte Jack Withrow. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.